Hey guys, welcome to WDWND Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty. And joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
And Fedra Ekris is not here tonight. She is celebrating. She passed her road test. And she is out there, hopefully not crashing into people.
It's been a long time coming, this driving test.
Yes. But she's good. She passed it, you know. First time out. Did you pass your test first time?
No, I did not.
I didn't either.
No, I remember, I'm doing the tests and I'm in like the school car. So it's got, you know, a student driver all over it. And some guy like was screwing around and like put over, you know, that when they do the quick jump over and jump back, kind of shake you up. And of course, you know, I'm nervous because it's my test. And needless to say, I guess I swerved a little too much. And the guy was like, just bring us back. I'm like, but it wasn't my fault. Just bring us back.
No, I fell twice. First time I hit the curb when I was doing parallel parking. I don't even know if you do parallel parking anymore.
They have to do it in the Jersey road test.
Well, now it's easier. You get those damn mirrors that show you everything. The other time I got there, I was the last one and it was 4:30 and the guy's like, and he goes, oh crap. He goes, I got another one. And he goes, I'm supposed to leave early. And he goes, there's no way I can do this some other day, huh? You know? And, so I start the car, I go out for like not even maybe 100 yards or so. And he's like, all right, that's it. You failed. he just didn't want to be bothered.
Wait, you know, he failed you? He didn't even let you off?
Yeah, we didn't go anywhere. He just wanted to leave. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And I was a kid. It's not like I was going to wrestle the guy, put him in a headlock or anything like that. But I eventually got my license and, whatever. I'm a decent driver.
Now, I remember, I took Patrick out practicing before his road test. And I kept him out. We went out after work. I kept him out long enough until it got dark. And then I made him practice parallel parking in the dark.
Oh, jeez.
And he's like, Dad, this is so unfair. This is terrible. I can't do this. I'm like, keep practicing. Keep going, you know, 10 more times. And when it came time to do the test, he went zip, zip, right in. No problem. And I said to him, I said, see, this is why I had your practice in the dark. Look how good you are in the daytime. He's like, yeah, Dad, all right, you know.
Yeah, you should have just blindfolded him.
Maybe the old guy knows something, you know?
Maybe. No, you're definitely right about the old guy.
Huh?
You're definitely right about the old guy.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
So I was going to ask you.
You know what the good thing about that is?
What?
You're still older.
Yeah, that's true. Weren't we in the same maternity ward, you and I?
I don't know. I remember. It was too long ago.
But it was Victory Memorial, right?
Weren't you born there?
And no, because it's like I was born there, you were born there, and like 2 days later, we had to be.
Your mom was probably on her way out while my mom was coming in.
Yeah, are you smoking cigarettes and getting loaded?
Well, that's the doctors.
No, that's what the women used to do back in the day. Anyway, let's start the podcast.
So what do we got on the agenda here?
We'll just talk about stuff. So I was thinking about Guardians. Have you thought about Guardians since you've seen it? Has your thoughts about it changed?
No, not really. I do want to see it again, but
me too.
With my track record, I'll probably see it again when it's on Disney Plus. But no, I mean, I liked it. My opinions really haven't changed too much. like I said, I would like to go see it again just to watch a couple of more scenes more closely. But no, I still think I'm pretty good with my score of 7.5. You know,
yeah,
there could have been a couple of things they could have changed, that would have put it up to an 8, at least an 8, very easily. But this was the direction that James Gunn went in, and it was fun. But I think some things could have been replaced with other things.
Well, again, all you guys made excellent points that made me want to go see it again and see it in a different light. But there's still, when you look at the crust of the whole thing, it's still the same movie I'm going to go see. It's like, I really don't care about Rocket's origin story. And I don't know. It's just, well, we'll see. I definitely am going to go see it. What the hell? I'll probably go see it this weekend. And hopefully my opinion will change. I don't know. It might go from a 7 to an 8. We'll see. I don't think it'll go less.
No, I mean, I don't think seeing it again, I would pick at it where I would enjoy it less. I just think there would be some things that I would see and be like, you know, I wish they cut this part out. You know, and like I said in the podcast, I wish they cut the whole part out of the organic hospital and looked a little bit more closely at Adam Warlock's character. You know, yeah. I would rather that 20 minutes be spent on Adam Warlock than trying to get the code key out of that guy's head. You know, yeah. But the rest of it stands up pretty well. That I honestly can't look at it and say that there's anything that screams, you know, this was wrong, this should have been out, you know, this was a mistake. It's just I would have rather seen some different things. But that's
what's annoying me is I'm going on Reddit and no one has anything bad to say about it. And I, you know, you go on to like Rotten Tomatoes and what's the other one? Metacritic. And it's like there must be something wrong with me that I'm not seeing what everybody else is seeing. I mean, I think it's a decent movie, but I don't think it's the best movie that Marvel has ever done. You know, I mean, so many people are saying like James Gunn is now a god and that they're so upset that we're losing him to DC and that he's just a genius. And I'm like, I don't know. I think you guys are kind of blowing smoke up his butt a little too much.
Maybe it's short-term memory or something. You know, phase 4 has been so bad it's scarred so many people.
That's a good point.
Once we have a decent Marvel movie, we get a little giddy.
So I was going to tell you, I don't know if you heard of this, there was an animated movie that came out from DC, and it was Justice League RWBY. Do you remember RWBY was pushing this on you guys? It's like, it's an anime that they made over in Texas, like these four girls, and like they each have individual powers and they go to like a Harry Potter school.
No, I don't.
It was a while ago, but I sent you a video.
Okay. And,
but anyway, it's four girls, Ruby, Weiss, Blake, and Yang. And I loved the series. I thought it was really good. And again, it was American made, but it looks just like anime, like The Last Airbender, you know, but it just didn't work. They had Justice League in it. And what happens is they don't really explain it. The Justice League are now in their world or their universe. And now they're kind of part of their school. And so they're teenagers. Like, so Superman is now a teenager. Bruce Wayne is a teenager. Wonder Woman. But they're trying to get home in the process.
They're teenagers, but do they still remember who they were?
They do. They don't understand why they're teenagers. And some of them have lost powers and some of them have gained powers. Like Batman has actual wings now, bat wings, and he doesn't wear a mask. Superman is less powerful because, I don't know if they have a fully yellow sun or he was basically missing it for a while. And Wonder Woman has no powers because her powers come from the gods. But she's a good fighter and all that. But it's also Cyborg is in there. Vixen, you know who Vixen is?
Yep.
She's there. Flash. And the Green Lantern they have is a girl. Has there been a girl Green Lantern?
There's several girl Green, several women in the Green Lantern corps, but there is also a...
her name is Jessica or something.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like... what is it? There's like four Green Lanterns on Earth now. You have Hal Jordan. What's his name? John Stewart. Why can't I remember him?
Is it Kyle?
Kyle Carter? Is that his name? No, Kyle Rayner. That's where
I'm getting Kyle Rayner, yeah.
And then this other girl who became a Green Lantern because they had some crazy storyline where the crime syndicate, remember how there was that other like Earth 2 or Earth 1 where the Justice League were villains that ruled the world?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that Green Lantern lost his ring on Earth where this girl Jessica got it. And she learned to control this ring because it was different from the other Green Lantern rings. But I don't know kind of what happened after that. But I remember she got the ring and it was giving her all sorts of problems. But she, not being a DC guy, I didn't stick with it.
She lost the ring in this one and they're kind of looking for it somewhere in that world. But anyway, I'm just going to cut to the chase. It's really bad. I would not recommend it. I mean, and I'm a fan of both DC and Ruby. And this was definitely made by Ruby's production company, Rooster Teeth, because they have no idea what... I don't think they understand the characters of DC. The way that they wrote Superman and Batman, they just don't get him. They don't get them at all. It's an embarrassment. And it's part one. So part two, I have no idea, because it ended okay, you know, like where it could be the end of it. And maybe they'll never do a part two. But if they do a part two and it's done by DC, I think that would be interesting. Like, you know, like how they do that sometimes, like they'll have, you know, one group do it, you know, kind of like how they used to do like the crossovers with Image and DC or Image and Marvel, where they would have, you know, one. Maybe
You'd have like Batman and Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
And then you'd have Judge Dredd and Batman.
Yeah. And you'd have the artists from Marvel and not Marvel, DC. And Judge Dredd is, but Judge Dredd is DC too, though, right? Isn't he? Oh, no, maybe he's not.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think he was back in the 80s.
That's true. Yeah. But you know, they had Spawn and Batman, you know. But anyway, that's what I think it might happen. And if they do that and the DC writers and artists do a good job, you know, maybe it'll be better, hopefully. But it sucks. Don't bother with it.
Okay.
Saving people money here.
I never got into the DC animated movies like you did.
Well, some of them are good. You know, like I think Justice League War, most of them are Justice League movies or they're Batman movies, you know. There's so many damn Batman movies and they're usually pretty good. They're pretty decent. But I don't know. They're definitely better than the Marvel ones. The Marvel ones were really not that good.
No, they're not.
So I want to kind of have a debate with you on this.
Okay.
I saw Picard season 3.
Okay.
After you chimed in and you said how great it was, and Charlie just loved it. He thought it was amazing, you know. And every reviewer that I follow on YouTube loves it. I didn't like it, you know. I just didn't get it, like I think I even said that too.
It's like I don't remember you being that big of a Star Trek fan.
Well, I was of the original series. I was, and I mean the next generation of this group of characters. No, I watched probably. I think I stopped once Picard stopped being a Borg, because I think I had my fill with that. You know, like when he became Locutus, which I thought his name was Laputus, but had the subtitles on, and it's like, it's Locutus? No way.
Anyway. Now you see, and it's a different type of storytelling. Like, it's very different from Star Wars. And every time Trek has tried to get a little Star Wars, he kind of really went off course. But what made Picard so good is, like, we got to see these characters we hadn't seen in a while.
Yeah.
They were all brought to the gang was all brought together. It tied in pretty well, I thought, with the fallout from the Dominion War.
See, that's one thing I didn't know, you know,
which happened in Space Nine. And I know, since you weren't into the Next Generation, you probably did not make it to Deep Space Nine.
So the whole Dominion War, so that's when they have the changelings?
Yes.
So the changelings, so which came first, the Skrulls or the changelings? Because they're basically the same thing.
What do you mean, the Skrulls?
The Skrulls in Marvel.
Oh, no, the Skrulls were, they were in the... before number two.
Yeah, they've been. That's why I
think, in like the early 60s.
I think the Next Generation ripped off the Skrulls.
Yes and no. No, because the Skrulls like mimicked other people and animals. The changelings could be anything, inanimate objects.
But most of this this series, they were being somebody else that we knew.
Right. They're very different from the Skrulls, but their backstory is very different. Skrulls are just naturally sneaky, kind of jerks, like the Kree are jerks, you know. But the Dominion... they took over, and the reasons why they took over, like I said, we could spend a whole episode talking about changelings. But like I said, it tied in the stuff from the Next Generation and Deep Space Nine into a really strong story and the movies. So, I mean, for a Star Trek fan, Picard season 3 was pretty much as good as it gets.
Well, yeah, I could see that, but I still was disappointed. I would not give it a 10 out of 10. I probably would give it a 6 out of 10. I mean, and that's being generous. But again, I did not have the context of the whole Dominion War. I think if I did, I would have appreciated it more. But I wanted to say some of the things that bothered me. One thing that really bothered me was Data. Like, why was he fat and old? If he's a android, shouldn't he be perfect, you know, and not age that way?
Well, the thing with Data, that wasn't the Data from the Next Generation.
I get that, but he still was fat and old.
Well, I'm sure they took some license with that, but because they've had the guy who built Data.
Oh, yeah, I know.
His ancestors, Sung, all looked exactly the same. Through every generation, they never changed. And this Data was, what do you call it? Like a combination of all these different Data prototypes. And then they introduced Sun's new technology that, like, Picard is one of these new artificial humans. How do you explain it? You know how they always used to say in Marvel Comics how the Vision wasn't an android. He was a synthoid.
No.
Because, you know, he's sort of like a mix of biological elements that have been built and put together. That's kind of what the data we saw in Picard season 3 was. He was any pieces of Sun's technology pieced together, which is why you had Data, you had Lore, you had some of B4, you know, the childlike version of Data, and you had stuff that Sun had built into that other race of synthoids. So that's the story wise. The more practical reason is Brett Spiner has aged.
No, you're right. I'm just being
nitpicky. And they didn't want to blow their whole budget on the de-aging technology. So
I would hire an actor that looks like him and just let him do the voice, because it just threw me off. It's like, oh, this is ridiculous. I'm trying to think who else I didn't like. Picard's son. Well, the thing that bothered me with him is, look how many people died just so that they could protect him. You know, I'm trying to think what movie was like that recently where so many people died. And you know, they would have just handed him over. They could have saved so many people's lives.
Yeah, but they're the good guys. They're not going to hand people over.
But good guys die. Oh, I know. Well, Guardians of the Galaxy, like with all of those hybrid creatures died because, you know, they were trying to save Rocket or.
Right. You know, the good guys are trying to do the right thing. And sometimes the bad guys just do so much worse trying to accomplish what the other guys are trying to save. But if you remember, Jack was going to turn himself over. He was going to turn himself over to the changelings.
Yeah, even so, Picard should not have protected him so much, since he just basically met him.
That's not what good guys do.
I guess so.
And heroes don't do that. They don't give into that pressure to like take the easy way out.
Maybe I'm one of the few people of this too. I can't stand the Borg. I never liked them. I thought they were dumb. I just they weren't as bad as the Ferengi, who were like their first villains. But didn't like at one point, I remember the first season, I think they had the Ferengi, and maybe they brought the Romulans in at one point.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, but then they went crazy with the Borg, and I just never got them. I just always found that they were annoying. So basically, when Picard was a Borg, and they took all of his machine parts out, some of his Borg DNA attached to his testicles, is that what it is?
With all the Borg implants, what happens is when someone is assimilated, the Borg inject nanoprobes into them. And the nanoprobes start to build the machinery up to convert the people into Borg. What was going on was the nanoprobes were also not only just building things in people, but it were actually altering the people's DNA. So the Borg knew how to screw around with DNA, but they didn't know how to take it to the next step to really activate changes within the DNA. What happened was the Borg would continue experimenting and then had the changelings make the change to the transporter systems in the Federation, which is why everybody, once you used a transporter, the transporter mechanism actually introduced the board technology into the people and left it dormant until the signal was given, and that's when they all freaked out.
No, all right, whatever. I just don't like the Borg. What else? I didn't like 7 and 9. She was so insubordinate throughout that whole thing, and it just really annoyed me. I like the captain. What was the captain's name?
Shaw.
Yeah. Because that's how I would have been. It's like, why are we risking our ship and my people to save some bastard kid out there that's up to no good? And a lot of people.
But you see, that's just you just summed it up. That's the type of Starfleet captain you like.
It is. Yeah, who was the guy that was like the captain in the Excelsior in Star Trek 3? No, in Star Trek 3.
Yeah, before Sulu became the captain of the Excelsior. But like I said, that's your kind of captain right there.
I thought he was good. He was my favorite character during season 3 of Picard. And Patrick Stewart is just way too old. I always say that. It's just embarrassing. I feel bad for him. I feel like he's being controlled by, like he's a puppet, and there's like strings that are like behind green screen that are moving him backwards and forwards. He's got death in his eyes. There's no soul, you know, like when he looks at somebody, it's just like, it's like black. It's like Jaws. It's like a Dar's eyes.
Oh, good grief. The cold black guy comes rolling back.
I feel bad for him. I just think he should retire, but it's kind of like, isn't he married to some young chick? And she was in Picard too, I think. I think she was in this season too. She was in last season. I think she was the lounge singer. I
don't know who he's married to.
He's married to some hot young chick, you know, and she's probably like, oh, do another season for me, daddy, you know, and we need a new kitchen.
Remember Tony Randall marrying a 30-year-old and having a kid at 80 in his mid-80s.
Really? Well, I don't want to get too X-rated. I heard Tony Randall had some, he was something special. We'll just say that. that's the rumors I heard. We'll leave it at that.
All I can say is good for him. Good for him.
Hey, I was gonna say good for Tony Randall.
Hey, Patrick Stewart's got some young chippy. Good for him.
I mean, you know, it was nice to see everybody return and all that, but I don't know. I guess it's just I've been so far removed from the Next Generation too.
I honestly think that's it. But if you've been a Star Trek fan through the years and you've watched the different shows, you know, season 3 was absolutely a work of love with Star Trek writers, production people, making something for the fans without going like 100% fan service.
Oh, let me ask you this. Why did I didn't get this at all. Like, why did Riker get pissed off at Picard when he says, you've doomed us all, like where they're falling in the nebula? And he's like screaming at him.
Well, because, you know, he always looked up to Picard. And, you know, here it is. Riker gets command. And he's got someone considered like one of the greatest Starfleet captains ever, just forcing him to second guess himself all the time. And he, you know, I don't kind of blame him for being pissed off, you know? Like whenever he makes a decision, Picard was there like, you know, you really might want to do this instead. You know, it's like, after all, you want to be like, give me a break, John Luke, go away. And he pushed him into that maneuver, which ended up, what, disabling the ship nearly.
Yeah. And that reminded me way too much of the Wrath of Khan in that nebula. They just ripped off so much stuff. I did not like it. I don't understand. There must be subliminal messages that only Star Trek to the Next Generation fans are receiving, because I'm not
They threw in, they had the Next Generation. They had Deep Space Nine. They even threw in a little bit of Voyager in there.
And what was the deal? Like, where did Geordi get all that money to rebuild the Enterprise? That must have cost like billions of dollars.
He was putting it under, he was doing it under the guise of restoring, you know, these starships, these historical starships for the museum. And you also got to understand, too, Star Trek, they don't have money like we have.
He still have to,
it doesn't work like that.
I know it. I understand they got rid of money, they got rid of prejudice and all that stuff, but they still need supplies. And
But Starfleet had made the decision of, hey, let's build a museum to rebuild and salvage all these historical starships. That's how they had the Enterprise A there. They had the Excelsior there. They had the Enterprise B there. They had all these ships that we've seen through the years have one last call back.
It was cool to see, but it's just, again, I'm being nitpicky. I did like Geordi's daughter. I thought she was the helmsman. You know, I thought she was a good character, and she just seemed very natural.
She was good, and also her sister was good. The two daughters, I thought, were very good.
Yeah. I liked the other one better.
Oh, no, the pilot had more screen time, and she was the better of the two. But, I mean, I would completely get into a series like they left it off with, you know, 7 of 9 on the Enterprise G. Having, you know, Geordi's daughter, Jack Crusher, 7, you know, that whole crew back together.
How the hell did Jack Crusher get promoted? How? He's never been in Starfleet. How? And he was a traitor, and he almost destroyed all of Starfleet.
But in the end, he was critical to save them.
I just didn't like it. Sorry.
That's because there's not enough pew-pew for you.
Yeah, not enough pew-pew for me. But you know, maybe it's like I had such high expectations because everybody said it was just amazing. It's the best Star Trek we've seen in decades, and I was disappointed.
Because, Joe, you need more Trek in your life.
I guess so.
You need more Trek in your life. And you know what? Honestly, I think if you started watching Deep Space Nine in season 3, I think you would get into it very much because it's strong characters and it changes from, like, Star Trek was always very episodic, you know, Alien of the Week, Crisis of the Week. Deep Space Nine is the first time we've kind of saw a serialized story in Star Trek set during wartime. So, I mean, they had some fantastic episodes.
No, I heard that.
You know?
And I did watch a little bit of it. My problem is that it was stationary, that it was a spaceport, and that they really didn't have a vessel. I know they got one eventually, but...
And that's when the series picked up. The first two seasons were really had some... Well, even, you know, people remember The Next Generation very fondly, but The Next Generation had its fill, a real stinker of episodes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and it really didn't pick up and find its stride till season 3. And I think Deep Space Nine was the same way, but it became the most improved Star Trek after that.
No, again, I heard that, but to me, I just saw it as like the Love Boat, you know, like where they'd have people visit the space station and something would happen. or Fantasy Island or something like that. And that to me isn't Star Trek. Star Trek is exploring brave new worlds. And
right. And once they got the Defiant, that's when they were going out looking for trouble. And like I said, that's when, you know, they still had the base where everything was central, but they had a ship now to go out and be more proactive rather than just reacting to whoever came by the space station that week. But as far as characterization goes, Deep Space Nine, I think, had the best characterization and character building of its cast than any of the other Star Treks.
You know what episode I never saw that I wanted to see was the one where they went back in the past, didn't they, see the original crew of the Enterprise?
Yes. Yeah, the episode when they went back and how well they inserted the Deep Space Nine cast into all these scenes with the original crew from Trouble with the Tribbles. That was a really fun episode, too.
Yeah. Anyway, so Amazing Spider-Man 25, have you read it yet?
Yes, I have.
And what are your thoughts? I just want to say, again, I didn't read it. I know the spoilers and everything. Everybody seems to hate this storyline. Everybody. There's not one person that I've read say, oh, it's not that bad. You know, they can't stand this writer. They can't stand the Marvel editors. Like, they don't understand what they're doing to Peter, to Mary Jane. It's like almost like they hate them.
Well, what happens is, as I've said, they end up in this dimension where there's a demon that, if he kills Peter Parker, the Spider-Man totem, which is Peter Parker, it becomes super powerful. And when they finally figure out how to get home, they can only get one person home. So to prevent this demon from becoming overly powerful, Mary Jane pushes Peter through the portal. So he ends up getting back to Earth, but she's trapped there. Now, the demon dies because it tries to get through the portal too, but the portal collapses and kills it. The thing is, in this dimension, there are other people. And they meet up with this guy.
Paul.
And Mary Jane gets stuck there with him. Now, what happens is time, you know, it's the old time progresses differently in this other dimension than the one Peter is in. So for Peter, while it's only a few hours, 4 years have passed with Mary Jane. During that time, Mary Jane and Paul are traveling because the guy who summoned the demon in the first place is kind of chasing them. So they're on the run, but they end up finding two kids.
They look a lot like Mary Jane and Paul.
One of them looks a lot like Mary Jane. One of them looks a lot like Paul.
But they're not blood related.
They're not blood related. But like I said, you see the little red hair girl with green eyes, you know, and that's Mary Jane, you know. She could pass as Mary Jane's daughter. And this the same is thing with the little boy.
So this is basically the stupid writer trying to be smart and saying, I'm going to throw the wool over your eyes and surprise you.
Yes, this isn't their natural kids. But anyway, over the 4 years, the four of them become a family. And, you know, when Peter finally, you know, Peter also comes off as a jerk in this because he won't accept help from any of the other people that know him because he doesn't have time to explain it. And now he doesn't know that time progresses differently there. He just knows Mary Jane's on the other side of this portal, you know. But when you have someone like, you know, Reed Richards saying, okay, you need help to build something? Okay, you know, this is the guy, you know. Reed Richards is the guy who's going to build something for you, has for years made intradimensional portals and, you know, things that we've seen from Hank Pym in the Ant-Man movies, you know. This is the guy you want to help whip up something for you. And, you know, he, of course, rather than explain what's going on to the Fantastic Four, he breaks in to their headquarters and steals what he thinks is going to help.
But the problem here is it's not Peter's problem. It's the writer's problem, the way they're depicting Peter.
That's what I mean. The writers have made Peter Parker into this, like, super impatient jerk where, you know, he fights the FF and steals something, which is what eventually blows up in Pennsylvania, which is why, you know, everybody hates Spider-Man again, because however this blew up in Pennsylvania, it's a thing he stole from the Fantastic Four. But they don't talk that much in 25 about that part of it. But you know, Captain America runs across him and it's like, Pete, you're acting crazy. Let us help you, you know. And then he beats up Captain America and webs them all up and stuff. Like, this isn't Peter Parker. Even when he's panicked and freaking out, he still is smart enough to accept help from people who know better. And that's what this writer doesn't get. He's so intent on making it that Peter's going to screw up that, you know, he makes Peter Parker not act like Peter Parker. And then of course they come back, you know, and Mary Jane decides that she's going to stay with Paul instead of going with Peter, who is, you know, made a mess of his life and all the relationships in his life he's made a mess out of. So she stays with the guy who's helped keep her alive. Well, they helped keep each other alive for 4 years, you know, and the two kids they brought back. So Mary Jane comes off as the
jerk.
No, as the better person. Peter just
really?
Comes off. Yeah, Peter just comes off as more and more of a jerk. She's there and she's like, you know, here's this guy. We've fallen in love. He's not you, Peter, but he's a good guy. You know,
I don't know. He seems like, just looking at him, I don't like him. You know, he looks like a sandal wearing, vinyl listening hippie.
No. Actually, like I said, reading the last couple of issues, Paul comes off as an okay guy, and he does stand up and he does his best to protect Mary Jane when she needs it. And, you know, and she protects him. Like, it's a more even relationship than what she has with Peter, that Peter, by being Spider-Man, is always, you know, he's always the guy who steps in to save her, you know. So she steps up. And like I said, Mary Jane comes off a lot better than Peter does. And, you know, honestly, I don't know how much longer I'm going to stick with it because you're right. This writer, I can't get into him. And I just don't like the direction he's going. He's now Peter has moved on from Mary Jane. He's now back with the Black Cat. But say what you will about Felicia, you know, it never works because she's just trouble.
She's a little bit of a villain.
Well, she's not really a villain anymore, but she's, you know, she's a thief, but she, you know, she doesn't injure people. She doesn't, you know, try to take over the world or anything. She just steals stuff. And, of course, in the Marvel world, that's the lesser of, you know, evils, but Felicia always has an angle with something going on. You know, that's just her. And it never works out with her. So here it is. Now he's gone into a bad relationship again. And of course, that's going to blow up again. So, I don't know if I want to stick around and wait to see if that, when that happens.
Well, it's basically not over. I mean, I thought it was. I thought issue 25 is the big one. I guess they revealed what happened in issue 25, but I think
issue 26. 20, and that's exactly it. They revealed what happened with Mary Jane in the other dimension and what happened when she came back. That's the big reveal, but the story is still going on.
Yeah, I think they say 26 is supposed to be the most shocking event to happen in all of Spider-Man history, which I surely doubt.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Like I said, I don't know, but this guy, the guy who did the last one, I think his name was Chip Zdarsky. He had such a good grip on Peter Parker, Mary Jane, Aunt May, J. Jonah James, like the entire cast, he had such a good grip on. I don't think this guy has it. This guy has his own story he wants to tell, and kind of could use any characters almost for it.
Well, I will say the one thing with comic books, though, is that nothing is final other than, like we always say, Uncle Ben, you know?
Right.
They can always change it, like where, you know, Paul dies or something happens with Doctor Strange or Mephisto again, where everything is okay and Mary Jane and Peter are married and they have kids or whatever. You know, it only takes an issue to change things. So.
Right. And that's just it. When this guy's run is over, you know, I'll pick up and see how the next guy is doing with Spider-Man, what the next guy has in mind for him, what kind of stories he's going to tell. This guy, I'm just not getting the hook with him.
Well, what annoys me is that they hire these writers to begin with, and they must have some kind of idea what they're going to do. I guess it's selling books, you know, because people are picking up. They're picking it up kind of like me. You know, it's like they like to hate stuff, you know. And
well, Stanley used to say the best way to sell comics is never give the readers what they want.
Well, this guy's doing a good job.
You know, I mean, like I said, it's like you always have to leave them hungry coming back to see if what they're dreaming of happens, you know, but you never give it to them because once you give it to them, they're satisfied and they're done reading. So that was the Stan Lee tidbit. Never give them exactly what they want.
No.
Yeah. So, and he did this all the time. It's like the same way, you know, Peter Parker never had luck with the girls, you know, and, you know, his aunt was always threatening him to fix him up with her friend's niece. And they dragged that joke on for 40 issues before the door opened and you got, you know, you've hit the jackpot, Tiger, you know. Took 40 issues to introduce Mary Jane Watson.
Yeah.
You know, but she was always on the other side of the door, on the telephone. You know, you never got to see her, but she was around.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens at Spider-Man. Hopefully, by the end of the year, I'll have a better life somehow.
We'll see what happens. They better do something quick because, I mean, I'm really losing interest in them.
But again, you can come back. You know,
oh, you can come back anytime.
Yeah. So give him some time to breathe. So Jonathan Majors has kind of been in the news again. It just seems like I it sounds like the writing's on the wall. I think Disney's going to get rid of them. I keep hearing more and more sites are saying it, that once all this evidence comes out, it's going to be problems for him. I don't think he's going to do any jail time, but they're saying that he could. But what's been going on since Guardians, like, everybody loved, what's his name? Evolutionary.
Honestly, I've seen his name. I recognize the name. I can't say it.
But they want him to replace Jonathan Majors as Kang.
Yeah, but how do you... I don't know how easy that would be. Because, I mean, really, he did such a good job as a high evolutionary.
Well, he's dead. He would just have to play Kang. You know, just this actor will just play a different role in the MCU. And if he does a good job, we'll forget that he was ever the high evolutionary. Not that we'll forget it. We'll just accept it.
We'll just accept it that he's now playing, you know, which, you know what, it wouldn't necessarily be an impossible stretch because
no,
he really did a good job. After what we saw in phase four, like I said, it was just so nice to see a full on villain, you know, like, I would say out of phase four, this guy and Elizabeth Olsen as Wanda were really the two breakout characters.
Yeah, because again, what did we have? We had Black
Tony Widow. Lange was the soft-hearted Mandarin.
Nobody really emerged from Black Widow as a real villain.
No one emerged really from the Black Widow.
Eternal
or Shang. Like Shang-Chi wasn't, you know, the Eternals, no, except, you know, the Celestials are jerks.
Thor Love and Thunder.
Gore was there, but he's one and done.
But no, he's not as good as, you know, the highly evolutionary.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
I agree with you. I think he's up there.
So like I said, but the two standout characters, I think, in phase four were Wanda as the villain and the high evolutionary. And like I said, I don't know if Wanda's still alive or not. They haven't said or clued anything in on that, I believe. But, you know, and is the evolutionary dead?
I think he is. I thought he died.
I know they took that mask off. The skin.
Yeah. His whole face was off. He can't live like that.
Yeah, but I don't know if he was dead or not.
I'll have to see it again.
You know, like, look at the Red Skull when they took, you know, that thing off and he was just a skull. He was still alive. Maybe the high evolutionary grabbed his face and put it back on or something. But, I mean... They didn't go into it as much, but the high evolutionary fought Galactus. So he's enhanced himself through genetics through the years as well. So he, for all we know, he could have flown out from the spaceship before it blew up, just like Adam Warlock was able to fly out and save Star-Lord.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but I think, again, when it comes to Marvel, if they want to replace him, you know, Jonathan Majors with this guy, they'll just say, oh, yeah, he died, you know. It's like, didn't you see it? Didn't you watch the movie? You know, he was dead.
Well, I don't think they'd even address it. It's just, you know.
They don't have to. Well, first of all, the Guardians are done. I really don't think we'll ever see the high evolutionary again.
No, but I'm just saying, like, the part of Kang is now played by...
I don't care.
And they'll, if they do something with the Council of Kangs, they'll just reshoot it with sticking him in there.
I got over Chris Evans playing Johnny Storm in Captain America. I'm sure people will get over this.
Oh, I'm sure.
I sent you pictures of the Fantastic Four costumes, and what did we have? We had the black and the blue.
We had the original black and blue.
And then we had the Future Foundation.
Right. Which was just Reed, Sue, and Ben.
And Spider-Man, right?
Well, Spider-Man replaced the Human Torch while he was presumed dead.
And then we had a couple of white and blue right. outfits.
Well, there was the white and blue, and then the white and black, which were the Byrne costumes. It was like when Byrne did them, he kind of made like they would be either like dark navy blue or black. But then when they appeared in other books, the colorist would just make them all light blue with white. So it was never really consistent. But I like the black and white suits.
Oh, no, I do too. You mean the Future Foundation?
No. I like the mostly dark blue / black and the white gloves, collar, belts, boots. I liked that costume. The Future Foundation, the all white. I don't know. I couldn't get into that.
I like them all. I mean, there's rarely a costume that they've ever done that I don't like. They're pretty much the same. I mean, sometimes they have different color variants. I think they even had red ones at one point.
They had red ones for a very short period of time. Red and black.
As long as they're uniform. That's like the Incredibles.
Well, that's just it. I mean, a lot of superheroes wear costumes. But the Fantastic Four, those are uniforms. Like, that's their work wear.
That's what they were wearing when they went into space.
But you see, the Fantastic Four wear those all the time. Like where Peter Parker goes and he changes into his Spider-Man costume. You know, when he goes out and does superheroics. Whether the FF is hanging around the Baxter building, doing science projects, doing whatever, they're wearing their uniforms. They're wearing those clothes. Very rarely do we see them out of their uniforms.
When they get married.
like I said, it's just, it's very different. The way they are with their suits is different from most comic book characters.
Thor
doesn't wear a costume. He's wearing Asgardian clothes. You know, but Captain America wears a costume. You know, Spider-Man wears a costume. Iron Man, he wears armor. You know, that's not a costume, you know, but it's not a uniform. So
the Hulk, Bruce Banner just happens to like purple.
Bruce
pants.
Banner just wears whatever clothes happen to fit, and then they all shred up.
Although he did have a uniform at some point.
Yeah, he did. But I think they tried to explain where all the purple pants came out of one time. It was something like when he becomes the Hulk, well, he always gives off a low level of gamma radiation, and that interacts with cotton that it turns it purple. Which it's sort of like, wow, you guys are trying to come up with explanations for everything, you know. But it's comic books. That's the fun of comics.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they should be blue and black, you know, and there should be a four on it.
You need to have the four. And the thing just always needs pants. Don't have them running around naked. Sorry.
Yeah. And we'll shorts, maybe pants. What do you think of a top, though? Do you think he should have a top? Sleeveless shirt?
I think it would save on the special effects budget if they gave him some sort of shirt.
Or uniform
top. But I mean, I like when they have him in in pants, versus shorts.
Yeah.
But it depends what look they want to go for.
Yeah, they're gonna ruin it. I just kind of see that happen. Oh, speaking of, you weren't here when Fedra and I were talking about it. What did you think of the rumor of Mila Kunis being cast as Ben Grimm or the Thing?
Honestly, I think it's insane. I like her. I really do like her. Not only from that 70s shows, but she's been in a few movies. I liked her in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I liked her in Bad Moms.
She was in Forgetting. I forgot Sarah Marshall.
she did one where, I think she was dating a spy or something. I think she's good. I like her. She's pretty as heck, but she can also act. I really do like her. But the thing, doing a gender swap on the Thing, why?
Just to
annoy people. It's just annoying. I mean, first off, they're making a point that, it has to be a Jewish actor that plays the Thing. And the Thing is Jewish, which they revealed not too long ago, actually. But they never made a big deal of it. The same way they don't make a big deal of, Superman being Christian or Captain America being Christian. It's just, it's good to pull out for a story once in a while. But they don't treat it like that big of a deal in the comic books. And it sounds like they plan on making this a big deal in the movie just for their casting decisions. So I almost swear they're trying to make the Thing into something he isn't. And not only that, they're also doing a gender swap. And
Well, not necessarily. It's just a rumor.
Now if they had Mila Kunis playing Sue Storm, I could go for it.
With a blonde wig.
She may not be blonde, but she has the acting chops that I think, she'd be a good Sue Storm. She's not the blue-eyed. Well, I think she does have blue eyes, doesn't she?
I don't like her as much as you do.
But I'm saying I would rather have her that doesn't look the type of Sue Storm who can act than someone who looks like Sue Storm that can't act. You get what I'm saying? I'd rather have a talented actress. Honestly, I think, what's her name? Charlize Theron is like right on the money for Sue Storm. But they've already introduced her as Klee. And
yeah, she ain't going to be that. I'm not saying Mila Kunis isn't hot or anything like that, but Sue has got to be hot, And I'd rather have a hot Sue that's not the greatest actress than a great actress that's not a hot Sue. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not saying Mila Kunis isn't hot.
Let's hope we get the best of both worlds.
Oh, well, that's why I say, like, Charlize Theron would have been like, bang. Or Emily Blunt, damn.
No. I always say Emily Blunt. She's not attractive enough. She's attractive, but she's not attractive enough to be Sue. I'm sorry.
I disagree, but, like I said, it's just, I hope to get somebody who can act. And that's also not a knock on Jessica Alba, because I like her too. But they made her look creepy by trying to force her to look like Sue Storm.
Yeah, you know? I still like those movies. They're fun. I should watch them again. They were good. Yeah, like we said, Doom, not so good. You know, Galactus, not so good.
No.
Surfer was okay, but the technology wasn't there yet.
Well, you know, and I thought that the Thing costume could have looked better if they weren't so afraid of letting Michael Chiklis emote as much with his face.
You know, I like that costume. I did.
You know, no, anyway. I mean, I think the body looked fine. I think it was just the face that was off. You know, like Ben Grimm has a, like just like sort of a slit for a mouth. You know, he doesn't have stone lips. He didn't have that big, you know, cranial ridge over his eyes. You know, they gave him almost like rock eyebrows, you know. I think it was just the head, the costume design. But considering that was conventional makeup, that I thought he looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, a conventional costume, not CGI. I thought he looked pretty good. It's just, like I said, the story was just awful. Chris Evans, I thought, made a great Human Torch. But then again, he went on to be an even greater Captain America, you know. But like I said, I thought Jessica Alba looked good in the first one. The second one, I thought they made her look creepy. It's like they almost gave her, you know.
They made her too blonde.
They made her too blonde. They kind of gave her a white face. And the contact lenses looked terrible. You know, it's just when they had that close-up scene when she's in the wedding gown and she's making the pimple on her forehead disappear.
Yeah.
It's like, holy crap, what the hell did you do to Jessica Alba?
I agree. Yeah, that's when I noticed the weirdness.
You know, and then I couldn't get over it for the rest of the movie. You know, but
no, I want to watch that again. I wonder if that's on Disney Plus. I know they have a couple, but I don't know if the Silver Surfer.
I don't know if they have, if that's on Disney Plus or not. But like I said, it's aside from that, you know, they just didn't. I think they got the Fantastic Four pretty much right. It's just they didn't have a good villain. They screwed up Doom once again.
You know what they added on Disney Plus? They had a lot of Spider-Man stuff. Like they had said that they were adding the Spider-Man movies. Amazing 2 is not on there for some reason, but the rest of them are on there, like the Tobey Maguire and Amazing Spider-Man 1. But I noticed they had the, do you remember this one? The Neil Patrick Harris digital Spider-Man series.
And it wasn't that on like MTV or something?
Yeah. And it was like CGI. Like back in the early days of CGI. I like
I kind of remember it. I haven't watched it.
And I'm not a huge fan of him, but I think he has a good voice for Peter Parker.
That's another guy I like, but he's, you know, I have a tough time buying him as a superhero.
Well, animated.
Or voice? I think he's got a good voice for Peter Parker.
I didn't like, what was that movie? The Red Hood. He played Nightwing, and it's like, ugh.
No. I didn't see it.
Yeah, he didn't sound good as Nightwing. But no, he was good as Spider-Man and Peter Parker. And I liked it because like there was a different spin on all of the villains. You know, like they had like a different kind of Electro. And they might have had Sandman in there or the Lizard. And, it would just look different than what we're used to seeing. And then they had new villains that we had never seen before. I liked it. And Is it Lisa Loeb? Remember her? She was, yep. My name is Luca. She was the voice of, I forget, was Mary Jane in that series or was it Gwen Stacy?
I really didn't watch it because I didn't like the animation and I didn't really get in. I didn't watch enough of it that I could even pick out voices.
I liked it. I liked that animation better than Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Well, that's really going back in time. That's going back 20 years from that show.
I thought it was cool. Anyway,
but I know they do have the more recent Spider-Man series when, you know, he's going to the high-tech science school. Granted, yeah. It's not Spectacular Spider-Man, but that show's pretty good.
I think Spectacular is on there, too.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Now that I would actually get back into watching, because that is my favorite Spider-Man animated.
Yeah, I mean, I have it on Vudu, but I think it's on there, too. I think they recently added that. That is pretty... When you go in there and you look in the Spider-Man section, there is a ton of Spider-Man stuff.
There's a lot of Spider-Man stuff. There's that... what was it? When he was on Counter-Earth... Actually, he fought the High Evolutionary in one of those series.
Yeah, I just didn't like the one. Again, when Disney ended up kind of doing the Spider-Man series after Spectacular, they kind of teamed him up with Iron Fist and...
Yeah, that's a different series, yeah.
Nova.
Spider-Man Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
You know what is kind of cool, though? They do have that really short-lived Silver Surfer series on there.
Oh, yeah? I didn't look at it. I did see it on there. That is good.
And that looks just like they animated a Jack Kirby comic.
Oh, yeah? I'll check that out.
That looks pretty good. I mean, all the characters look very Kirby-ish. You know, and once you watch it, you'll be like, wow, you'll see exactly what they were shooting for right away.
I was going to mention, so Superman Legacy is supposed to be filming, I think, pretty soon. But they, what's his name? James Gunn mentioned that Crypto is going to be in it. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't have a problem with Crypto. I don't quite remember. Where did he come from in the comics, though?
Well, he was with Superboy.
In the Rocket?
I just know he was in the Superboy comic series.
Like, yeah, I remember, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Superboy has a dog. Crypto.
I think he came afterwards. Like, you know, a rocket landed on Earth and there was a dog in it and it happened to be Kal-El's dog, you know. And
like I said, I don't remember the origins of Crypto, but I don't have a problem with him.
Yeah, I just don't want
as him long to as talk. They as long as they don't overdo it with him.
Yeah, it's like, again, did you ever see Batman Apocalypse, which was the Supergirl comic book by Michael Turner? That was made into a movie. And
I know the comic. I know they made a movie version of it, but I never saw it.
It was good. But Crypto hated Supergirl, you know, and like when she ended up going into, you know, the Fortress of Solitude, he was always chasing her. He was just like, he was a real bastard. He was like a real guard dog. I hope they do him more like that than... you know, having The Rock voice him, you know.
No, I don't think these. Well, I hope they don't have him speak.
I think I don't know if this is true or if he was kidding or not, but Chris Pratt said that he might do the motion capture, which I'd be fine with. Yeah, I mean, I think it'd probably be better to get a real dog, but if they happen to do motion capture and he doesn't say anything, I don't have a problem with that, you know. I just hope he's.
Why can't they just let the dog be a dog?
Yeah. Yeah, dogs need to eat too.
That once again seems like one of those unnecessary sort of things.
Yeah, I again, I worry about James Gunn. First of all, like, again, his fans are putting him on such a pedestal after Guardians 3. They think it's like there's never been a director like him ever in our world. Like, forget Scorsese and Coppola, you know, and Kubrick. It's James Gunn. I mean, and he's good with the Guardians, but I think he's getting a big head. Every day he tweets, every friggin' day. It's just like, just shut up. You know, he is, like I said, he's like Trump, like where Trump would have had a better career as president if he tweeted
less.
Never. You know, and he's doing the exact same thing every friggin' day. He's just letting everybody know what's going on, what he's doing next, what kind of crap came out of his butt.
It would have been better if you know, they had him, he was being interviewed, and he's like, my people, they gave me the best internet-capable machine I could ever have to do my tweets. It's red with a gray screen, and I have a little two white knobs that I can turn to spell out my tweets. You know.
Now he's going to go, yeah, this new Superman movie, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be the greatest thing you ever seen. I'm telling you right now. It's like, we're going to make the DC universe great again.
Space Force. Pew, pew.
Yeah. Well, you got to give him credit for that. I've been seeing a lot of Space Force out there. I love it. I absolutely love it. Because I know people are pissed because it's like, again, he used Star Trek with the symbol. He used Force with the Star Wars. And what did he use with space? I don't know. It's just a combination of everything, you know.
I swear, I say it jokingly, but every time I hear Space Force, I hear pew pew afterwards.
Like, I think that's cool. Defending the, I mean, there's a definition of it, I think, on the official sites, defending the, you know, the planet Earth from incoming objects, and you know, protecting us from alien life that we have not discovered yet. It's like, it could be very beneficial, and it's something that we probably needed. And I'm just glad that they're going forward with it. But it's not at the point where it's at the, you know, the degree of the Marines and the Army yet. You know, it's probably there's probably like maybe 20 people in the Space Force right now. You know, we're getting bigger.
Oh, wow.
So last thing, I shared this with you. Jim Lee was promoted to president, publisher, and chief creative officer at DC. He's like Kathleen Kennedy.
He's. I don't want to make it out that like I dislike him a lot. Because I think he's a phenomenal artist.
Oh no, I love him as
X-Men. He actually is a pretty good writer. When he does write, he's pretty good. But you know what? He's just too.
He worships at the church of woke.
Yes,
way too much.
He's a strong, proud supporter of the woke and nutty, and he's ruined DC for me.
Oh no, he's ruined it for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, so you know what, he's been calling the shots there at DC for so long now, and pushing the agenda and being their front man for their agenda that it almost sounds like he's had that job anyway.
No, I remember during COVID and they had that big DC fandom thing, and he made this big speech and he said that going forward, you know, our initiative is going to be diversity, inclusiveness, and representation. And I'm like, that doesn't sound good. You know, it's like, that's your main goal, DC. And
yeah, he was not telling stories.
He was not kidding. He was not kidding.
No, he wasn't kidding.
And, but instead of getting rid of him, like all these comic book, you know, things that he's pushed to get done are getting canceled. They're doing horrible on sales. Eh, let's just promote him. Why not? He sold his soul to the devil. I'm convinced.
But then again, you know what? Warner Brothers isn't alone in that. Look at Disney. Look at Disney and Lucasfilms.
You're right.
You know, they won't. They've got to know the problems with Kathy Kennedy, and they still keep her. Not only do they keep her, they renew her contract and give her a job, a raise and more stock options and all this stuff. And look at what Disney Plus, look at what Star Wars has become. Star Wars should be like one of those franchises that you could just print your money, because you have such a voracious fan base that wants content, wants, you put it out, they all want to love Star Wars. And then they just get disappointed time and time again, because you want to focus on agenda, not story. And they Disney doesn't get it. Disney's just as bad with Kathleen Kennedy as Warner Brothers is with Jim Lee. It's just, I don't know where these, how these people get into that. I don't know.
It's got to have dirt. It's got to have like naked pictures of Batman or something.
<laughs> You know? I don't know. I don't get it. I just don't get it. And I don't get how the shareholders aren't just flipping out. You would know better than I do, but what did Disney lose last year? $100 billion?
Well, their stock went. They had another earnings call a couple of days ago, and they announced that they lost 4 million subscribers at Disney Plus. But I think a lot of it had to do with they were airing the Indian Cricket League on Disney Plus in India or something like that. So they lost a license, so they're no longer having that. But yeah, that Disney Plus has never been profitable. They keep saying that it's going to be profitable eventually. That's another thing too. They're going to friggin' raise the rates, and they said that they're going to start taking away content, and they haven't said what they're going to take away. And geez, you better not take away any of those classic Disney movies in 4K, you know, or the Star Wars stuff or the Marvel stuff. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they did do it, and they're like, well, those movies are going back in the vault, you know, and then they're going to start selling them again, you know, on digital demand or disc or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think the vault concept is going to work anymore.
Who knows?
I don't think that would work in the world, because there's media, there's too much media availability. That if it's not on one platform, it's going to be on another platform somewhere else.
Yeah, most of this stuff is also on like TBS and ABC and Freeform. But yeah, no, they really need to get their act in gear. Even like even Guardians didn't do that great at the box office. It made $114 million. I mean, that's just domestic opening weekend. And that's kind of like what Ant-Man did. So who knows if it's going to be profitable. It's just sad. It's,
like I said, Guardians was a victim of all the disappointment people got from the previous Marvel movies. I think I really think it's not superhero fatigue. It's because of what they're doing with these superheroes, you know, and they will not change course. You know, the boat will keep sinking, but they're going to keep going in that direction.
And they just keep making crap after, like the Little Mermaid, I'm sure is going to bomb. And then they're doing the Haunted Mansion. That's going to bomb.
Well, I got to say, the Little Mermaid looks better than the Haunted Mansion. The Haunted Mansion just looks like, that just looks like garbage.
I don't know. They all look like they're just, it's like they're burning money.
Yeah.
It's just sad. And again, like it started with, they wanted everything to be like Marvel, and Marvel was in the end game period where all their movies were making close to $1 billion. And they got greedy with Star Wars. They're like, well, we're going to make a Star Wars movie every year now. That way we'll have $1 billion from Star Wars and maybe $3 billion from Marvel. So maybe we'll have $2 billion from Star Wars if we make two Star Wars movie in a year.
Well, that's why I think that line of, oh, we can't do a Star Wars movie every year, it's too much, I think that is such a load of crap. Marvel shoots to put out three movies a year, and they're each making nearly nearly $1 billion each. You know, you're telling me you can't put that kind of effort into Star Wars for one movie a year?
No, it's just
with the wide palette, you have the Old Republic. You know, now they've made this whole thing of the High Republic. You've got the classic era, and now you have the sequel era. Like, there's such a wide range of timelines you could do with Star Wars stories. And I don't know.
Even like with Marvel, I mean, Endgame, they got rid of Captain America and Iron Man, two of their biggest characters, and Thanos. They could have kept him too. And it's like, we're so confident we can just release movies like Shang-Chi and Eternals, and people will just be running to the theater, you know? And that's what killed superhero movies, is that Phase 4, I think, is if 3 years from now, if there's no maybe like one superhero movie a year, and that includes DC and Marvel, it's because of that. It's because there is fatigue with Marvel because they're giving us crap, and we just, it's the same thing with Star Wars. It's like now people don't even watch The Mandalorian after getting Book of Boba Fett and Obi-Wan. And
well, they've been disappointed so much now. Why keep coming back? If you go to a restaurant and never enjoy a meal, how many times are you going to go back?
Well, it depends on how much it costs. Like if they have any specials.
Yeah, but you know, you're not going to enjoy the specials either. But like I said, it's just, if they kept up with the quality of the story, the characters, and even the CGI, because let's face it, I think some of the CGI has started to get a little sloppy.
Yeah, MODOK.
Well, no, I'm not even thinking MODOK. I'm thinking the Black Panther. And not the second one. I thought the big fight scene at the end of Black Panther, I thought that CGI was terrible.
Oh, a Killmonger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you had the Purple Panther versus the Orange Panther, you know? It didn't look good. It wasn't up to the snuff that we saw in the rest of the film. You would think you'd want to spend the money to make the climax of the film be incredible. And it wasn't. I mean, and like I said, they haven't done a lot of super impressive CGI work where they've tried to go overly fantastical, like in Ant-Man 3, in Quantumania. Now, I thought some of the stuff looked cool, but after a while, once your eye kind of got used to it, it started to look weaker and weaker, where the colors just started to look splotchy. You know, and it's not superhero fatigue. It's lack of quality, not making people want to come back.
Well, that is part of fatigue, though. It's like, you're tired of seeing crap, you know?
Yeah, but
if everything was good, it'd be a different story.
But that could be you're tired of seeing crap of a crime drama. You're tired of seeing crap as a Western. You know, you're tired of seeing crap as science fiction. You know, it's keeping the quality up. And if that would mean Marvel would do 2 movies a year, great. But, you know, they keep with their 3. Now I kind of have to think, are they going to 4?
No, I think they're going to cut back. They cut down the budget. Like he announced, I think, during his earnings that they're setting the budget, I think, for Marvel movies to $150 million. And the TV shows, I think, are $75 million now. I could be wrong, but they definitely cut them. Where it's like, we need to start saving money because these movies are the more expensive than what they're pulling in.
Well, like I said, that wasn't always the case.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You know, there was not too long ago, you could pay Robert Downey Jr. $100 million for 2 movies. Now you can't do that.
Yeah, all right. But you could pay him $100 million and still make money.
Yeah.
You can't do that now with what they've got.
Yep. No, all right. Let's wrap this one up. So, Jack, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
You can always send me an email at jackm@wdwnt.com.
And if you want, you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. And please mention Nerd Alert. And I'm also on the podcast Rusted Junk, which is the 80s movie podcast. And next movie we're doing is The King of Comedy. And that was one of my picks. I like that movie. It's and again, the Joker is very reminiscent of The King of Comedy. Excellent movie, both of them.
Okay. All right.
I'd much rather watch Joker than Picard season 3. And check out WDW News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Parks News Today for all your Disney and Universal news. And finally, if you like our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and would like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit the WDWNT Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. So with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 9, Episode 18. So until next time, see ya.
Good night, all. Be good to each other. And good night, Miss Fedra, wherever you are.
Yeah, and look out for Fedra on the road.